Good morning and welcome
Love
to Women's
Talk Radio.
Welcome to Women Leading the Way radio show, where each time you'll hear from successful women CEOs, executives, and professionals, where we'll discover how they do what they do to be successful in business. We'll be interviewing women who have overcome big challenges, women who have incredible stories of lessons learned in dealing with adversity. We'll even interview women who have started and grown successful organizations, and women who are C-level executives with unique talents and positions. Our goal is to bring successful businesswomen together to share how they're leading the way in business today.
Good morning and welcome to Women Lead Radio, brought to you by Connected Women of Influence. I am not your usual host, Deanna Potter. My name is Lenka Holman, your host for today on Women Lead Radio Show. Our star of the day is Miss Sashi Whitman. She is founder of the Affinity Magazine and has also been a longtime professor for the UC Extension. Welcome today, Sashi.
Thank you, Lenka. How are you?
I am doing well.
Good.
We have a fantastic topic today. It's actually one of my favorite, dealing with leadership, and we're going to go into the realm on how do you boost your business with integrity and authenticity and finding the breakthrough and beating the competition and still holding your head up high. So welcome, Sashi.
Awesome. Thank you. I'm excited to talk about it.
So you're uniquely qualified to talk about this because you have the perspective of looking forward at the leadership and business world in your magazine, and yet you have the hindsight of being a professor and having a pulse on the youth. So we've got a lot to cover today.
Definitely. Yeah, love the youth. The millennials definitely have a lot to offer in this area. So I can definitely
Excellent.
Talk to
well,
that.
Why don't we start from the beginning? What would you say it, with authenticity and leadership, what it used to look like or where we all started on that topic?
Well, I think it's morphed quite a bit in the last few years. I think with social media becoming so much more prevalent and that has crossed both into our personal and professional lives, so we really need to just make sure that we are who we are and represent our true self, and that comes from anything from sharing our story and just really being mindful of who the audience is that is watching us and listening to us and watching what we post and watching what we state and kind of walking the talk. so I just think it's very important just to stand up and be who you are. And I think that also comes through an involvement of who you are as a person. I mean, I would probably say that I became more comfortable in my own skin and knowing who I was probably about 10 years ago. And that was after having gotten laid off and starting to teach and really trying to find my own voice. And so I've started to share that, you know, in the classroom, but I think the start of the magazine was the beginning of it all. So
okay, so that's interesting that you say that. It sounds like you just said that things have morphed. What do you think how do you think we started? I mean, what did it look like? What did leadership and authenticity and visuals look like 10, 20 years ago before the world has morphed?
I think it was rather hidden. I think it was very easy to hide in your house, in your office, in your car, and have these thoughts to yourself. And maybe you voiced those thoughts to a few people. Maybe you didn't. It was all via phone conversation and face-to-face conversation. And then, now you can text message your information to somebody or Snapchat with someone or post a photo on Instagram that represents your weekend, your vacation, your business expertise. And so that's how it's really, really changed. And I think as a adults and even the youth, we're still trying to understand how to handle social media because it's overwhelming and it's constantly changing. And so we have to figure out how to adapt to it. It sort of just got dumped on us, if you will. And so everybody,
I would agree.
Yeah, sort of just sort of jumping on the social media bandwagon because it was the right thing to do, or it was what everybody told you to do. Yes, start a Facebook page. Yes, you know, get on LinkedIn. Yeah, and so, but I think we're all still trying to learn how to really represent who we are, because even in those private face-to-face conversations or on the phone 10, 20 years ago, we still weren't really being our real authentic self, or were we? That's the question.
Mm-hmm. No, that's interesting that you put it that way, because it feels like it was easier to have a mask on years ago.
Mm-hmm.
And now with social media, with the development of technology, having to keep that mask on, is somewhat harder. And now we're all expected to be out there. So specifically with leaders, what somebody may look like privately, how do you think that really affects a leader who has an image to uphold?
That's a good question. I think, I think you have to define yourself personally and professionally and then decide how you want to present yourself in those two areas. There will naturally be some crossover between the two. It's, you know, okay to talk about your spouse and your kids and what you've done for vacation and what your future goals are for your family. But I think we also need to be careful in terms perhaps of some of our beliefs. I mean, if we look at just the last year and a half with the election, for example,
Yeah, exactly.
I think that bled into a lot of areas, into, you know, I would see some LinkedIn posts on people's political beliefs. So that's just an area that we just have to be just kind of tread carefully, because we have to be mindful that even, I think people just kind of think of social media as like being in your car. You know, when you're in your car and you're driving and you get mad, you can go ahead and let it all loose. You can say some expletives. You can choose to use some hand gestures. And I think that's how a lot of people view social media, as sort of this protective barrier. So you can just be your honest self and just speak your mind. But you have to be really careful, because you have to remember there's people listening, and not only that, they're watching you as a leader, and you're leaving behind your digital footprint. That's a whole other talk show. But anyway,
okay.
I think you just have to be you just have to realize that you can be followed easily, and what you say has a lasting impression. So
think before you tweet.
Yeah, exactly. Right. Yeah, don't do it at 3 a.m. in the morning. Don't do it when you're really angry. Sleep on it. You know, just like practical, like really, really think about what you say. I mean, I love the edited feature in Facebook. You know, you can say something and you can go, oops, I didn't mean that, or you can delete it, but just, you know, take a few minutes before you post.
So it seems like 10, 20, 30 years ago, our image, our leadership, and the way we presented to the world was crafted. It was structured, and I mean, does that have any relevance of in today, or are we in a whole new world and throw out all of the previous expectations?
Well, I think it's still crafted even today. I think, though, what happens is everything is just more real time. So back in the day, it was you had time to craft your message, and then the media would get a hold of it and then portray your image through a print publication or a TV medium. But now something that you say can be immediately photographed or immediately posted or copied or videotaped, and it can go viral. And so that's where I think perhaps that the structure weakens, but that's where you have to, I think, be really careful about what you say and how you present yourself and what you write, so that you really reach your audience. You know, again, you just have to be super mindful of who is watching and listening. So
it almost seems as if you have to craft things ahead of time
mm-hmm.
so that you can be spontaneous, if that makes any sense.
Yeah, I think so. I mean, there's lots of helpful scheduling tools with social media, so you can really think ahead of time, and it is really wise to plan ahead. I mean, those traditional goal planners and written down plans where you can say, okay, on Wednesday, I'm going to post this information, or I'm going to send an email that says X, Y, and Z, and then you can really put some time into it instead of doing it last minute. And
mm-hmm.
I think that's where we have to really balance it, is how much, and it's okay sometimes to post things spontaneously. That's okay. Just, again, be really mindful, again, of who's watching and listening. It could be your kids. It could be, you know, family and friends. It could be clients. So just be really careful of that. So I think it's a delicate balance, if you will. It's like you're walking
mm-hmm.
on a tightrope. You know what I mean? You have to
mm-hmm.
just really be careful of who's behind you, who's ahead of you, and what's beneath you.
Wow. Sounds like landmine. Like walking through landmines.
Kind of, yeah. Yeah, totally. And that's why I think a lot of people are really uncomfortable, I think, with social media. Some people just back away from it completely. And I get that. So
you think that younger generations are embracing the social media and the potential of presenting their image
mm-hmm.
authentically in a positive way, or are the older generations just shying away from it? How do you think that generationally it really makes a difference? Is authenticity more legitimate or prevalent in a younger generation, or where are we at?
That's interesting. I think authenticity is more prevalent in the younger generation because they are very spontaneous. They just immediately take a picture of their dog, their cat, a flower, a friend, selfies, and post it on Instagram, you know. But the problem is that social media hasn't been modeled well by the parents, by the older generation.
Mm-hmm.
And that's only because we're new to it. It's
mm-hmm.
new to us. We are not digital natives. We're digital immigrants. We are, like, brought into this. And so we have to adapt to it. And so our kids are running like 10 miles ahead of us, or the youth, and we are like watching them fly by, and we don't even know what's what. And so we might find out a week, 2 days, 3 days later that somebody we know, that the millennials or the Gen I, the younger generation even after them, have posted something, and we don't even know on what medium it is or what they stated or what that really means. And how do we really use, you know, these hashtags? And so I think it's a little messy, if you will.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So I think it's a matter of what I would like to see the younger generation doing is to learn how to apply social media practically. You know, sort of take it from the example of, like, writing a business plan. I think we can start figuring out how to write a social media plan or market yourself via social media, and I think the youth are capable of handling that and learning it
mm-hmm.
and then using it. I can see that in schools. I can see it in business classrooms, and I think that would be a wise way of teaching them how to manage it.
Mm-hmm. Excellent. So taking it out of the social media range,
yeah.
Do you think that the leadership of a business plan of how do you become that leader? What are some other areas that you see maybe traditionally or are new to our world that we could take a look at for successful leaders? And do you have an example?
I would say that writing is still a learned art form, and I think it's still a great way of communicating. You know, I love LinkedIn, I think, because – and I know I'm touching on social media, but the reason why is because it's a means of writing. And so I think if we're able just to communicate our words and craft it, and that could be, you know, an email to your clients. It could be a blog post. It could be something that you write. And that's a way of really figuring out how to represent yourself and finding your true voice. And then you can try and figure out who you are as a leader. What do you value? What are your core values? What do you value the most? You know, our family has these core values that we kind of go to. It's trust, integrity, respect, relationships. And so if those are our core values as a family, then that, you know, does transcend into business for me, so then I can then model that to the people I work with, my partners, my writers, my readers. And so that's how I see it transcending.
Interesting. So do you think that the transcending into one area of your values means mm-hmm. where you show up one place is where you show up every place?
I think so. I would hope that I think it would be really difficult if I were to only model integrity and trust and respect in, say, my magazine realm and then not do that with my family or vice versa.
Mm-hmm.
If I were to only do it with my family, and then that would be like two different halves of Sashi, you know, little Jekyll and Hyde going on. So I think it's really important for everyone to figure out like their core values, core mission. And so for me, because I value respect and relationships and authenticity, being kind of your true self, I try and speak to that. So when I go into a classroom, for example, I am who I am. You know, I will talk just like I am now. I might share a personal story, but it has a professional bent to it. And I can, you know, just model that for my students. And then I do the same with my magazine. I write. And so I'm a writer. I love to write. I love to journal. It's the way I process my thoughts and my feelings. And so then I'm able to then portray or like write about a specific theme through the magazine. And then that touches
wow.
upon, it brings out who I am, my core self. And then therefore I'm hoping to lead others, you know, so others can then get inspired by perhaps what I write or what I say.
So it sounds like the connectivity of Affinity Magazine, is that the reason why you chose to have that as an online access so that more people could connect?
Yes. What I kept finding was that so many people were disconnected, and we just didn't really understand what resources existed out there. I always think we live in silos. We live in these little tiny compartments. And we kind of hide ourselves because we're busy. You know, we're tired, we're exhausted, we have nothing left to give, and we don't want to make any extra connections. It takes work. It takes effort. It takes time.
Yeah.
It takes vulnerability. But I think that that's also a way of moving ourselves forward. I mean, I couldn't be where I am right now without the support of a lot of encouraging women who came around me. You know, who spoke to me, who were like, that's a great idea, I get it, I can see it, you know, asking me really smart questions. And so I was encouraged, you know, I was encouraged to move forward instead of being stuck. And I think so often we get stuck in our ways, you know, repetitive habits, reinventing the wheel. And so I thought, yeah, let's promote all of these resources and written information online as a means of, you know, quick and easy digestion, and hopefully that will make us better.
Sure. Well, how can our listeners connect to you on your magazine? What are ways that they can find out more about these inspiring stories?
So they can go to affinitymagazine.com, and I'll spell it for people because it's a French spelling. It's Affinite Magazine. .com. You can subscribe and you can get my newsletter. You can also go to my Facebook page, Affinity Magazine, and find my Facebook page, like it, sign up. I promote all of my posts and other pertinent articles and other information that I think is relevant that will help people.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of my readers are working moms, so they have to balance a lot. And so those are the types of articles I post that touch upon workplace issues, parenting, relationship dynamics, things that are all, you know, common to many of us, similar struggles.
Mm-hmm.
And so those are the two main ways that you can connect with it.
Oh, excellent. So it sounds like, and I have to disclose that I have had the cheat of having met you before, but there sounds like there's a lot of stories on there of people who really have found ways to overcome the obstacles that everybody experiences.
Mm-hmm.
And by reading those stories, we can kind of cheat, shall we say, and get to know, okay, what's the answers to the test? How do you break through? What's one breakthrough type of thing that one of your stories has expressed on that magazine?
Well, one of them I can think of was actually a friend of mine who runs a website development company, and she was sharing how she and her husband, who run the company together, handle their finances. And finances is a touchy subject, especially among spouses or partners, and especially among those who run a business together. So she was sharing with me how they actually meet on a monthly basis, on a quarterly basis, even and on a yearly basis to vision cast and figure out where their finances lie, what their expectations are. They'll talk about it from a business perspective. They'll talk about it from a personal perspective, have these goals set from vacations to what they want to do with their business. And it was just so disciplined and so organized. And I think many of us are very messy in that area. You know, I think we just sort of figure out finances as it comes along. Oh, here comes Christmas. Okay, well, we'll just put it on the credit card and we'll figure it out. You know, just very common. And so even though it may seem like a very common issue, and there's lots of financial tools out there, but to hear one woman's perspective on it, I'm hoping my readers can glean some information and go, that's a great idea. Now, here's a conversation I can have with my spouse or my partner and figure out what are our next steps. Maybe we can have more open conversations, meet on a more regular basis instead of meeting when there's a financial crisis. You know, that's one example. Another example, a friend of mine whose son was autistic, and she was able to, you know, share her story. It was really a short piece, a very small sliver of her life, but it allowed her to have a voice about her experience. And hopefully, I think it touched some of my other readers who also share that. It's a very hard struggle. I think it's something that only people who have kids with autism can understand. And so I hope it reached people. And she was able to then share her story and be her authentic self.
Authentic. Well, it seems coming down to authentic stories. And it seems like it would be easier if you're being authentic, because you don't have to have that mask on, and it helps you connect to people. Would you say that that's where our world is going?
Well, I'm always about, you know, go deep or go home. You know, share your story, be real, because I can't really get to know Lenka unless I really know you, unless you share with me something personal, or I do the same. You know, there's only so long that I can keep a mask on or say I'm fine, everything's fine, everything's good, this month is going to be great. After a while,
oh,
that gets really
old. Your life isn't always perfect?
Oh, no, far from it. I was talking to a group of women last week about how I had a bad week with my daughter the other week over homework. I mean, you know, I was about to tear my hair out. She was going to tear her hair out. We were at odds with each other. And so that's a very simple but probably common story that not many of us even talk about, because we figure, oh, everybody goes through that. Everyone's busy, but let's share it so that we know, oh my gosh, I'm not alone in this struggle. You know, got somebody out there who I can reach out with, who I can connect to, and hey, maybe I can, you know, connect with her on Facebook or on social media. Maybe I can just email her and see if she'll talk to me, see if she can help me out with my specific situation.
So that's interesting. It seems like even top level leaders are sharing who they are, which makes them more relatable. Do you think that helps them be more successful and connect with people who they may have never heard from before?
Definitely, because I think it puts a human face, a human touch on it, instead of just being this person who somebody sees as, oh, they've had all these successes in their life and they've never had any major struggles, or everything seems perfect, you know, they're nothing like me. These leaders can actually say, hey, you know, last week was a really hard week. We didn't do well in business. I had a major disagreement with a client. Clients left my company. I mean, it could be even from the business side, or it can be the personal side, sharing a personal struggle, something really hard. And I think that can then reach out to, you know, people, making a human connection. So that you're not just this person who appears stoic and and calm and happy and, you know, all the time. That's not real life. Yeah, I'm sorry.
Sure.
You know, real life is messy. So, and I think it's okay to allow others to see that.
Well, I think that everybody saw messy in the past few years.
Mm-hmm.
And so do you think that those that came back from that quickest were the ones who said, hey, this is where we're at, this is what happened, and this is what I'm doing to fix it?
Yeah, I mean, I think, the financial and housing crisis really brought to light, like, a lot of broken patterns and a lot of deep pain. Marriages suffered from it, jobs suffered from it, people suffered. And so I think out of that, people had to really rally around and support each other. I think that's where those natural connections were formed. That's where a lot of networking groups were formed to say, okay, how can we, now that I'm at point B and I've been here for 3 years, how can I move on? How can I get out of this rut? And so I think that's where we are now. I think we're at a place where we can really reach each other and help one another if we allow it, you know,
others
like to support each other.
So it sounds like success is actually just connectivity.
I think it's also being truthful. It's being honest with yourself and going, okay, who am I? What are my passions? What are my values? And how can I incorporate that into what I do? And then it's also surrounding yourself with other like-minded people, other successful people who have had, and I mean successful, again, not happy-go-lucky, everything's been great, but these have been my valleys, and now I'm coming out of those valleys onto the hill, and I'm able to go forward, and this is why. This is my story. And so don't live in isolation, but then connect yourself with others who you then can learn from, you know.
Well, yeah. No, I really appreciate that, and honestly, with your magazine going online,
mm-hmm.
it's not
mm-hmm.
something we have to go out to get. We can connect to that
mm-hmm.
in our PJs
mm-hmm.
at 2 a.m. if we're
right.
having a restless
exactly.
night. That type of
right.
thing.
So right.
it,
exactly.
it's fantastic. And I really want to thank you for bringing the stories and all of the information
mm-hmm.
from these leaders who have overcome to a wider audience.
Mm-hmm.
Without,
yeah, that's my
without
vision.
Forums.
Right.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Without forums, it might have stayed in the teaching realm rather than the public realm. So I do want to thank you, Sasha. I know that we're coming up to the end of our
mm-hmm.
time together. It went fast, didn't it?
It did. Absolutely. Yeah, that was a fast half hour.
It is.
That's
it
awesome.
Is. It's absolutely. So with that, I do want to just wrap it up. And thank you for sharing, and hopefully our readers have found yet another resource where they can get encouragement and inspiration
mm-hmm.
for their next breakthroughs.
Mm-hmm.
And I want to thank Sashi again for bringing so much, not just to this half hour, but to accessible to all of us.
Oh, thanks, Linka. I appreciate it.
All righty. And all of you listeners, I want to thank you for joining us today. And next week, we will not be hearing from me. We will have your usual leaders here on the radio show next Monday morning for another Women Leading Radio Show. And every morning, 9 a.m., you'll have some inspiration to guide your week. So with all that, thank you all, and have a great week.
Women Leading the Way is produced by Connected Women of Influence, the premier private membership organization where life-focused, business-to-business executive and professional women connect, collaborate, and cultivate a vast network of high-level affiliations, resources, and professional relationships. For more information about Connected Women of Influence, please visit our website at connectedwomenofinfluence.com.